Zippity doo da, zippity. Hey! Hi, folks. What's going on? Kevin Goatee, Gutting the Sacred Cow. Got ourselves a brand spanking new episode here for you. We brought back a familiar face, and that is Task. He did X-Men, and he's come back to do X-Men Part 2. Thank you so much for telling your friends about our podcast. We really appreciate it. We have people DMing us and saying, "Oh, my friend so-and-so said you guys are really interesting and original and funny movie podcast," and we are, and we thank you for that. Thank you so much for sharing the word, and that's the best compliment we can ask for. And if you do us another favor, follow us on YouTube. Just turn off your notifications. We don't care about that. We just need the subscribers to get to that level for monetization. That's all we need. Just follow us subscribe to us on YouTube. Kevin Israel and I thank you so very much. And without any further delay, let's talk to Task trying to go and take down X-Men 2, X-Men United.
Gather round is what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah.
You forgot your boarding pass. Kevin Israel, name that film.
Is that Passenger 57?
No,
no,
it's not.
I know I should know this one. Wait, hold on. I can
one.
Picture who's saying it too.
I'm disappointed.
I am too. This is one I know you know.
And the movie I'm thinking of, it's a different line, and it's not that line, but.
Time's up. The answer is 1995's Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Oh my God. Off to a rip roaring start. Oh. I mean, Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, shit.
I'm so mad at myself.
On a 2-0 fastball. For shame.
Fuck.
I thought that was an easy.
Yeah, it was. It was. This one I'll take full blame for. That was
oof.
Bad. That the was fans. Bad. And my buddies and I quote that movie constantly. We saw it, and I was in college. We saw it in the theater.
Ugh. The fans are always right. How does he know these easy ass quotes? Who cares? Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, Gutting the Sacred Cow. Here we are again, and we're bringing back a friend from a few months ago. You know him from the X-Men episode. You know him. You love him. Give it up for Task. Thanks again, Task, for coming back on the podcast. What's up,
Welcome
buddy?
Back, brother.
Greetings and salutations. I would wish that I could say that I'm happy to be here because I feel like I shouldn't have to rip these movies to shreds because they're already bad enough. But I am here to remind everyone how absolutely shitty all the X-Men movies are. And last time, I take this personally. I mean, we've all seen the Michael Jordan documentary where he said, and I took that personally. Last time they said it didn't go in hard enough. Let's go. I'm ready today, boy.
Who said
you consider this a public service announcement? This is your PSA of sorts.
And with a $100 donation, you can get also a tote bag. I should have a better lead up with that, with a PBS, you know, cue, whatever. So Task has kind of alluded that he is here to take on the goddamn franchise. So here he is for X-Men 2, X United, sorry, X2, X-Men United. 2003, a budget of $110 million, bringing in a haul of $407.7 million. 2021 money, a budget of $158 million, a box office of $586 million. Wow. A lot of
nice haul.
Scarol. IMDb, you know, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Task. What do you
want to say? Oh, no. I was going to say, I remember when there was a time when no other superhero movie was out. You didn't have a choice.
This I mean, was what else out, was there? What else was – so, wait. Fantastic Four was not too far after this, correct?
Right.
And that was the next one, if I remember. I don't think there was anything else between X2 and then – was X3 that close after that? Or was it X2, Fantastic Four, and then X3? Or is it X3, then Fantastic Four?
It was X2, Fantastic Four, and then they did X3.
Right. I thought so. That's what I thought. Okay. IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Task is our guest. Kevin Israel, your camera just fell.
Yeah. Nope.
There we go. IMDb 1 through 10. Task, what did X2 get on the IMDb scale?
On my IMDb scale?
No, on the IMDb. You don't have your own website. Stop it.
Okay, my bad. You're right. Do you want me to guess?
Yes, I want you to guess.
Okay, between what numbers?
1 and 10 with decimal points.
-1.2. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. 3.0. 3.
Oh, God damn. Kevin Israel.
I'm going to say a 6.7.
7.4.
That's way too high.
Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100 percentage-based scores. Kevin Israel, critics, hit me with the hine.
68%.
Task.
42.
85.
Oh, really? Wow. Who critics in the fuck? No.
Wow. You know what? I'd like to go back through some of the movies that the critics gave really low scores to that it doesn't always even out.
No. We don't take the side of critics very often. Audience score. Task. Audience score. Rotten Tomatoes. Same scale. 1 through 100. What do you have?
Because, of course, a lot of people are idiots and don't know anything. 90%, of course. Probably Kevin, somewhere in there.
Kevin Israel?
I don't think it's going to be that high. I'm going to say 86.
85. One away.
So close.
One of the rare times the critics and the audience scores mirror each other. Quotes? This one I laughed at because, well, I've never hooked up with a girl as good looking as you. I know. I've never heard that. Never said it either. Next one that stood out. You're a god amongst insects.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one too.
Kevin Israel.
I got 3.
All right.
You picked the wrong house, bub. And have you tried not being a mutant?
Can I say one?
Yes.
Wait, I got one more.
Do your thing.
You're an animal. You were an animal then. You're an animal now. I just gave you claws. Which, by the way, he didn't give him claws.
Right. I was going to say, he didn't give him claws. No. Bullshit.
Task, what do you have?
I have garbage.
For quotes.
Quote, yeah, no, yeah, that was a quote. Oh, okay. Garbage. When the snake gets caught in the room where there would have been no way for her to be in there, when she's the janitor, she says, oh, yeah. Garbage. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel when I watch this movie.
I love the hate that he already has.
Oh, no, the visceral is coming. I also have...
What?
help them. Help them when, you know, I spent $100 on my Colossus action figure. Then he's in the movie for 5 seconds. I want my money back, Bryan Singer. I want my money.
Too late. He's in jail and he needs your money. Oh, you know.
I'll get another way. I want this commissary. I'll take something else. I'll take some noodles.
Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Whoa, five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
The aforementioned Bryan Singer does play a cameo in this film. He is the guard wheeling Professor X into Magneto's plastic prison, which surprises me because if I'm Bryan Singer, I would have put myself on the couch with the boy who can change channels with his eyes, knowing his proclivities.
Felt that one coming from a mile away.
Did you? Sorry.
Hey, yo, I feel bad for that kid. You're in a place where dudes can teleport. This girl has, can scream. What's your power? When I blink, the television changes.
We'll get into it. Alan Cumming had to sit through 10 hours of makeup. Rebecca Romijn took 5 hours to sit through makeup. And Jennifer Lawrence probably had to do 0 because it was all CGI.
No, well, that's why in the last movie, she was always in human flesh for so long because right. She said she didn't want to. She wasn't going to sit through. She was going to do another movie, but she's not sitting through the makeup.
Right.
That's why she was very rarely blue Mystique.
And they got tired of her shit and killed her.
Gambit,
my God, get out of here.
Gambit had a scene cut from X2 as well as the X-Men original film. Did not know that. Also cut from this film because of budget. What do you mean? How budget? Sentinels and the Danger Room were also cut from this film, which, of course, the two biggest important things of the franchise. I'm sure Tass is going to get into that. But the next one, I don't think I'm going to get it, so I'm not going to guys make you figure it out. Neil Patrick Harris auditioned for Nightcrawler, but did not get the part because Alan Cumming speaks fluent German.
Hmm. I mean, did you really need the fluent German? Like, you could have.
It sounded great things. When he spoke. I mean, I will say to the not so trained ear, it sounded good. Listen, we're excited about five fun facts and our brand new segment, Ask a Gutter Bud. I think this man would try and jump through the screen and choke us if we did not let him come out of that cage and start shaking the shit out of the X-Men 2 film. So, Kevin Israel, is now time for task two.
Guts the sacred cow.
Dun, 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 dun. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back again, and I wish I could say I'm pleased to be here, but I have to consistently remind people that the X-Men movies are ass cookies. It is okay to let them go. It's okay to just be like, you know what? For that time, it was okay. But now that we're grown and smart and have developed brains, this movie is ass sauce, and that's okay. First of all, I was forced to rewatch this film, and I got triggered immediately. I thought I was watching the insurrection of the the Capitol on January 6th. I thought I was watching that again. There was a weird dude with fake makeup on, and I'm like, how the fuck did this dude get this close into the fucking building? Like, how did he get this close to the president? Dude looks suspicious as hell. He has a hat on, his sunglasses. While this scene is cool, I was just kind of like, okay, how did he get this close? And then everyone is just shooting all over the place. The fighting scene was cool, I guess. But I'm like, y'all need some more training or some kind of shit. Who was like letting people in there? I swear I saw that same guy when they tried to take over the Capitol on January 6th. I got a little trigger. I deposit and take some few breaths and remind myself that this is fake. And fortunately, since that actually happened in real world. So we get. No, I'm just saying, like, I got scared. You know? So that was just me. Nightcrawler is debuted. He looks great, but he has these weird scars on his face. And I just love how I just feel like somebody would have asked Bryan Singer, are we going to explain why he has those? And they just say, no, we're just going to say he did it to himself. But why? But why? Like, I understand. Okay, he did it to himself. Okay, but why did he do it to himself? Oh, no, it's unclear. We're not going to talk about that. We're not even going to bring that up ever again. Okay, cool. And so then we cut to Wolverine, who is somewhere. I mean, for a guy that says he doesn't remember everything, he sure knows how to find his way around, I guess. I was just like, wait, I thought he didn't know any of this shit. But sure enough, he's there. And then all of a sudden, there's a wolf looking at him. And the wolf, acting like he's the goddamn rabbit from fucking Alice in Wonderland, like, hey, follow me. And he's like, oh, let me follow this wolf. Why? Why are we following the wolf?
Does Wolf Wolverine get it? Get it?
But where is he? I was just like, wait, where are you? How'd you get here? That's just what I saw. It was just complete bullshit. I was just like, okay, this sucks. Why is he following this wolf? So when we go there and, you know, then they show that they're in this museum. They're in the museum and Jean Grey's character, she's like, she's reading everyone's minds and they're like, oh, they're freaks. They're freaks. How the fuck do they know they're mutants? How do we know they're mutants? They just look like everybody else. It's not like you got a big blue motherfucker right here or a big green rock nigga here. No, you have none of these things. You're just human beings. How the fuck do they know that they're mutants? I was like, okay, so now you're trying to tell me everyone's scared of these mutants. They ain't doing nothing except for the kid with the forked tongue. Now, him, Now, him, I can say everyone being afraid of him. Everyone else, you don't know that they're mutants. And then Jean, who foreshadows the whole entire movie, says, I feel something terrible has happened. Yeah, you started watching this fucking movie. That's the terrible thing that has started happening in this fucking film. You have made a bad decision in your life and decided to watch this film, but that's okay. That's okay. We, you know, sometimes people have to die for the rest of us to live. So I feel like I died so I could tell everybody to live and not watch this goddamn movie. Also, we cut to the scene where this dude is being a dick to Pyro, saying, yo, give me a lighter. Nigga, fuck you. I don't need to. Why do I need to give you a light? If I don't want to give you a light.
Why are you smoking in a museum?
Another thing. I'm like, wait, why are we smoking in a museum? Number one.
Maybe it was the smoking museum and he had to feel that the part was there to do.
Well, okay, if it's a smoke, like, and then Bobby's like, they're like shaming Pyro. I'm sitting there watching, what did Pyro do wrong? Like, he doesn't want to give the man a light. He doesn't have to. And I was like, oh, start being a jerk. Stop being a jerk. And then, of course, Pyro does the Pyro thing because he's evil. He's so evil. And then Bobby freezes. And then Xavier freezes everybody. Xavier freezes everybody and then says he had the nerve to say, next time you want to show off, don't. Motherfucker, you just showed off. You didn't have to freeze everybody. You didn't have to do that. How you going to tell me not to stunt while stunning? Hey, you know that thing I just did when I just really showed off my power? Yeah, don't do that. Hey, wait, you just did it. And so then that happens. So then we go, and Mystique is still Senator Kelly. I have an issue with this.
Yeah.
As a kid, I thought that was so cool. I was like, wow, she's still Senator Kelly. But now that I'm grown, I'm like, so wait, she had to really commit to this then. She had to really seriously commit to this. So that means she's showing up at wakes. She's showing up at family meetings. She's probably speaking to this. Does he have kids? Does Senator Kelly have kids? Does he have a wife?
She has to learn how to fuck as a dude. Yeah,
she's in a banging Mrs. Kelly. Life.
Yeah. And she's like, honey, you never try putting your dick on your own ass because it's usually the way.
Yeah. You never went down on me this much before. Why are you trying to scissor? I don't understand.
Why are you soaping your? Why are you playing with your balls so much? This is very disgusting at the dinner table, no less. And the car wash. That's more appropriate.
I don't suggest that everybody do what I did, but I just really went down this like rabbit hole of how she really would commit to being Senator Kelly. Because that means that she had to learn his information. She had to find out where he lived. She had to learn like how he speaks, his mannerisms. Like you said, like who knows? He might like getting pegged in the ass, and now that's something she's gonna have to like to do too.
That's brilliant. I never thought of that because we actually kind of went down this path when we did Face Off. Because it's like, wait a minute, you just swap faces, but John Travolta's dick's gonna look a lot different to Joan Allen. Now it's a little more advanced with and evolved with this one, but same fucking rules apply. She has to learn all those. That's brilliant, task. That's brilliant. Good call.
I think I just went down this rabbit hole. I'm like, what if he got a scar? You didn't see his whole entire body. What if he has a smaller dick than you give it? You're going to give him a big dick?
You got circumcised? When did you get circumcised?
Does he even have a dick? He might have had something happen and lost his dick. You don't know this. So she had to really commit to this. And like, I just started thinking, like, wow, that's really like his car keys. What kind of car does he drive? Was it social security number? Like, you can't just be a fucking...
Motherfucker, you never listened to country music until now. What's going on?
Task, but here's exactly a question. Here's a question for you. Here's a question for you. When Mystique, and I don't remember from the comic books, when Mystique touches somebody, because I think, does she just have to see them or does she have to touch them to be able to
see them?
So, okay. So, well, then that answers. Because when she becomes Lady Deathstrike and she uses her palm... Now, that's scanning her palm print, which she wouldn't have Lady Deathstrike's palm print just because she saw Lady Deathstrike. Okay. Anyway,
and
sorry, go on.
No, you're right. And that's where I was at with it. Where I'm like, okay, you could copy her. I mean, you don't know what the hell her fucking fingerprints are. You don't know what these things are. Like, right. you know, so that kind of got to me. But that's
nerd minutia, though. You guys are really that. The first part I'll buy, but the fucking handprint, like, it's a goddamn movie about mutants who do shit. We're not going to have complete. Reality here, guys. So
you know what, Kev? I you're 100% right. But this stupid podcast makes me analyze all this shit at a level that I never wanted to analyze anything at.
I'm trying to gut the sacred cow, sir. I'm trying. I might be failing.
Keep going, baby. You got as much time. Yes,
sir. So here's the deal. So then this scene always annoyed me. So we finally meet Stryker. And Stryker goes off, and all of a sudden, Kelly like loves mutants now, and nobody's questioning this. Yeah. Nobody's like, wait, bro, like you. I did a complete 180. What's going on here? And so Stryker says to him, I was in Nam when you were sucking a titty. They look the same age. I was like, fam, how much older are you than him? Because y'all both look like you're like...
And as a non-comic book guy, I know that Wolverine's like, what, 200 fucking years old? So he could like, actually... I was in the Revolutionary War, cocksucker.
That scene has got to me because I'm like, Stryker doesn't look that much older or even older than Kelly. So I'm like, how old is this guy supposed to be? I mean, I wouldn't know. I was told black don't crack. So, I mean, I wouldn't know. So, like, I'm looking at this and I'm like,
oh, it does. It does crack. Have you seen Whitney Houston before she died? She, ooh.
This is true. Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
No, it doesn't crack, not doesn't do crack. Oh. Two different things.
It shatters. It doesn't crack. It shatters when it's. Most of the time, you're right. Most of the time, you're right. It doesn't. But when it does, it does.
Mm hmm. Absolutely. Also, just recently, I know we're going to get into probably a little bit geeky stuff, but within the past 10 years, Iceman has, in the comic books, become gay.
Yes.
And a lot of people didn't like that. Personally, I don't care. It's a fictional character. Who gives a shit? But I after rewatching X2, I'm like, okay, now I kind of see it. There was a little homoerotica between Bobby and Wolverine. He goes to shake his hand and shit and freezes his hand. I'm like, why are you trying to stunt in front of this dude? Why are you trying to show up? Hi, I'm Iceman. This is my girlfriend. I'm like, dude, why are you trying to? And then Wolverine makes things very, very awkward when he says, how do you guys, you know? Like, why aren't these guys like 14? Like, aren't they like children? Why are you so concerned about their sex life? That should have warned us about Bryan Singer. That should have been our first warning, but we were so happy because mutants. I could see him being there saying, you know what? Why don't you ask about their sexual preferences and everything like that? And nobody questioned it. It's so crazy how things are so different now because you can never do that now.
2003 was a much more innocent time.
Simpler times, fellas. Simpler times.
Much simpler times. R. Kelly had the number one song. Bryan Singer had the number one.
He was just peeing on girls, R. Kelly. He wasn't keeping them prisoner. That is a big difference.
You know, the good old days when you could go up to a kid on the street and ask them about their sex life. Those times.
Or you can literally make a video of you peeing on a girl. Everyone sees it. You go to court for it, wins, and nobody cares. And then you write a song about it. Try to charge me, but I'm not guilty. I'm like, word. He just got away with that.
Listen, if OJ can write a book that says, if I did it, R. Kelly can get away from that shit, too.
I never read that. I want to read that so badly. I want to read it. I just want to know. So let's keep it going. So the people break in, and now we're in the scene that pissed me off. I want to talk to Fox real quick. I want to talk to Fox. You guys owe me $150. I want my $150 because that was worth a lot back then. And I had to sell newspapers to get this $150. And the reason why I had to, because I was told that Colossus was in this movie. They sold me Colossus merch. And I am a part of the Colossus gang, all 12 of us. There is a dozen of us of the Colossus gang. And we are fans of Colossus. And I was told Colossus was in this movie. And he was in the trailer. And he was in all the promo. And this motherfucker was in the movie for like 5 seconds. He just shows up, gets all tough and big. They shoot at him, and then we don't see nothing else. And all of a sudden, you just see guys flying. And I'm like, okay, 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 let's get going. And then they say, oh, no, that's it.
You know what this is like for me? This is like the movie Executive Decision, because who was featured in that film? Steven Seagal. Yep. And what happened? Motherfucker got killed in 15 minutes ago. Well, I should just walk out of this film in principle, because I'm here for Steven Seagal. I like Kurt Russell. I love Kurt Russell. Excuse me. But God damn it, Steven Seagal is the reason I just paid $10, whatever it was back in 94, whenever the fuck it came out.
When I saw that, I was actually convinced. I was like, oh, he's going to have a twin brother or something. Like, there's clearly going to be
a clone.
Like, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal, man.
That, I think he had top billing in that movie, too.
One of. Yeah, that was horse shit. Continue, Tess.
And
sorry.
By the way, Colossus didn't even have a Russian accent, which.
No.
Well, from what I was told, what I'm being told is that they just got rid of accents in general, except for the Nightcrawler.
Just ask Halle Berry.
Yeah. Well.
Halle Berry was like, you know what? Or maybe somebody walked up to him and just, you know what? Let's just not do the African accent. Let's just not do it. And so, watch the kids. Who can, if you ask me, they can take care of themselves. One girl ran through a wall. She's all right. She just keep going. Another girl got the screen. Like, we good. Like, we have powers. Show them off. What the fuck are we doing in the school? What are we trying to learn? Arithmetic? We trying to learn algebra? Motherfucker, use your powers. What the fuck kind of shit?
Listen, they all had to protect the kid who changed the channel by blinking his eyes. That was the main job.
They didn't have a remote control. He was the only one who could do it.
Hey, yo, man.
Does his twin sister open the garage door at their parents' house by wiggling her eyebrows?
That's
they call him Clapper.
I want to know more about this kid. Is that his only mutant power? And what a shitty mutant power. Yeah.
I get into that in my notes, so I believe
okay,
me.
Okay, I got you. I'm going to let you have that. I'm going to let you cook that. So, and so we cut to this scene where Mystique is breaking into this place. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, she changes her hand to... you know, to get into this room, to Lady Deathstrike to get in. I'm not going to go into all of that. I wanted to, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to let that one slide.
I think more than anything, and I think Task's point, Nightcrawler in the comic books didn't have those scars. That was something they made up for the movies. And it wasn't like they were like, we need to make this guy interesting. He's a blue devil looking guy who can transport. Interesting enough. You got me. He has a tail. He has tail.
Yeah,
the tattoos were all just extra.
It was just so extra and unnecessary. I was just like, okay, if that's what you're pitching me, then tell me why. And then they don't even tell you why. He was just like, I did it to myself.
Did we learn from bat nipples already by this point, guys? I think we did.
Stop adding shit.
Hey, yo, a flag on the play. Bringing up bat nipples. Flag on the play. When they're flying away from... the missiles are coming after them, and they say we got to get the planes out of here. And just Storm just creates tornadoes. How many people did she kill?
Three.
Well, you just murdered. Because I was flying over a city, and you just created tornadoes.
Yeah, that's curious. Because if I'm her, I don't use tornadoes. I use lightning.
Lightning, yeah.
Short circuits.
Exactly.
I mean,
much more precise.
Yeah. Or a heavy hailstorm at the very least. But the lightning was the tornadoes. I mean, that was, hey, we've got CGI money to burn.
That's
fuck it.
Exactly tornadoes. What it was.
Yeah. We got
Bryan Singer was like, lightning's not cool enough. We need typhoons.
Guys, sleet no good? Sleet, no? All right, how about a brisk wind?
Or anything else. And then she just stops. She just stops helping. I was like, wait. This movie has been trying to preach to us that mutants are humans and they're not a threat. Bull the fuck shit. How many fucking humans have died in this movie? From the tornadoes, from them taking over people's minds and just freezing them where they are. No more mutants. I am balling for Trask. Get these niggas out of here. I'm tired of mutants. They are a threat to our society. Xavier gets on the Cerebro helmet. And he gets convinced to kill the humans. How many humans died? There must have been a human flying a plane somewhere. There are humans driving cars. They're in accidents.
They're performing performing open heart surgeries and zing, there you go.
That's where my brain went. I'm like, dog, there are people doing life-changing shit. And all of a sudden, there's probably someone skydiving. There was someone swimming. They're all dead. How many humans have died in this movie? So that's my thing. Stop saving this film. It doesn't represent the X-Men correctly. Mutants are a fucking menace. And that's it. I feel like I've gutted this fucking cow.
Mutants are a menace.
And that's funny.
What mutants?
Tass, give me a score 1 to 10 of this film.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to be polite because the Nightcrawler scenes were great. The Nightcrawler scenes were great. And if we look at all the comments, 99% of them are, well, Nightcrawler was great. So I'll give it a 3.
3. I forgot. Do you remember what you gave the first X-Men film?
I don't remember. Someone remind me.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Didn't look it up. But here we go. So now it's time for Ask the Gutter. So we're going to go through our Twitter questions here and see what people want to ask you. One of them by our buddies at the STST podcast, who hurt you?
Bryan Singer hurt me. Bryan Singer hurt my
feelings. You can file a complaint.
I'm sure it's a class action lawsuit.
He hurt my feelings, and he also tried to convince everybody that Bye 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 by NSYNC is not the jam, and that's bullshit. Bye 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 by NSYNC is a fantastic film. I mean, fantastic song. It still bops to this day.
There are a lot of people who say what you just said. The opening Nightcrawler scene is badass. All that, as you said, all that's like 10 minutes in a 2.5-hour film. The opening scene is great. Thoughts of the Nightcrawler scene. Everyone loves that. Colossus appearance, that's it. A lot of that. Kurt's teleporting. The cast, Jackman, excellent. Cummings, excellent. Brian Cox is an outstanding villain. Also agree. Nightcrawler, the best thing. Death Eye Duke asks, please talk about how much the film holds up today. Oh, and mention me. We just did, Death Eye Duke. We just did.
We did. And you chose violence today, sir, because that movie does not hold up to this day. Stop telling yourself it does. It does not. It's not good.
Hold on. Sally, at Lockhart Sally, says the soundtrack was great. What soundtrack? They played Bye soundtrack. Bye Bye. There was one song.
That was the soundtrack she was talking about.
you can't tell me that. It's... Bamfing Bob, obviously a Nightcrawler fan, that's his avatar, says he loves this film and he disagrees with you. Bamf, to end that. So much leather, Bamf. Thick leather too. Yep.
Shout out to Bamfing Bob. Bamfing Bob, I love you, but shut up.
And Favina Lukinma, I don't know that. Is there a new nude Jackman moment in this flick? Folks, we've got our first cockscoper in the group here. So the answer to that is no. No cockscoping here. So that is our question. Actually, here's one more. They brought you back to destroy another X-Men movie. They clearly love to see the angry black man, but that's cool. I'm going to tell you some things I love about X-Men, too. Okay. That's from Bald William Dent, Act Right, Hefias. Okay. So there you go, guys. Fun. Ask the Gutter. We're going to do this every segment after every argument from the gutter. And of course, I'd be a flaming dickhead if it had not let my resident comic nerd Kevin Israel go first. So Kevin Israel, start us off.
Hey gang, we here on the show often use the expression "that doesn't happen." You know how we can say that with such confidence? Because we have an actual fucking scientist sponsoring this show. That's right, Mr. A.M. Compson is our new sponsor, and he's helping spread scientific knowledge with his new lecture series. Are you a nerd who thinks school is too tough? Go to A.M. Compson to find books on a wide range of science and mathematics topics. That's university-level teaching at a fraction of the cost. Are you a tough guy who thinks school is for nerds? Then go to A.M. Compson and pick up the night school version of these books, which has the same exact information condensed with punchlines and swearing. New material every few weeks. It's like OnlyFans, but their fathers are actually proud of them. So go to amcompson.com today to start learning science. That's amcompson.com.
I'm not sure who I'd rather have do my voice, the voiceover of my life, Patrick Stewart or Morgan Freeman. I think I'm leaning Morgan Freeman, but Patrick Stewart is definitely a close second if Morgan's not available.
Yeah.
The Nightcrawler, as we've all said, the Nightcrawler White House attack scene was awesome. But you would think, knowing that mutants are a danger, they would have either hired a mutant or had mutant training or something. They would have been more prepared. They wouldn't. Tess was right. It was way too easy for them. Marsden was a great Cyclops. He was, I see Task making a face. I think he played the kind of stick up your ass, no fun, just by the books superhero kind of character. I think he and Wolverine, or he and Jackman, had perfect chemistry for the two characters. I really enjoyed him. I'm not a huge Marsden fan, but I thought he did a really good job in this part, being this version of Cyclops.
Fair.
Professor X's ability to stop time. I really want to talk about this. It's completely nonsensical. It's never really explained how he's able to do it. I guess you're supposed to assume that he goes into your mind and he just kind of freezes you and everybody else keeps moving, I guess. He stops your brain function. I don't know. I don't know how he does this. He also does it in First Class. If he has this power, this is the only power he should ever use. And he should use it all the time, because it would have gotten them out of so many bad situations. If you could just freeze everybody he freezed everybody in the museum. How many other situations that the X-Men were in would that have solved if he was able to just freeze people? It's absolutely bananas to me. And I don't think I don't know that he ever actually did that in the comic book. And if there had to be a better explanation, there was absolutely no explanation of why he can do it. I mean, it looked cool. But it's ridiculous that he can do it and then just never does it anywhere else.
Never does it again. I'm like, why is he not on the team? Why does he just come to every mission?
Right. It should be X-Man and it should be Professor X. Because he could solve it all. Anna Paquin. Huh. There she is. Moving on. I got to tell you, the worst part of seeing Magneto in prison was seeing Magneto in Crocs. That was horrifying. They couldn't give him better footwear than white Crocs. That would be the worst part of prison for me.
Agreed.
But Wolverine putting out a cigar on his hand was as Wolverine as it gets. That for
it was
me,
so unnecessary.
No, but it was just so great. That's such a Wolverine thing. And Kevin and I talked about this when we did Logan last week. There are few moments throughout the movies for me as a Wolverine fan where he really was like Wolverine from the comic books. And that was one of them. That was something Wolverine would have done. He definitely would have put a cigar out on his hand. I think there was in a comic book where he actually just swallows a cigar, or maybe that.
Yeah.
So that was a very Wolverine moment. The X-Jet. Where does that come from? There's nobody. If they had Forge is a mutant who can build almost anything, and he can control machines, and it's also a nonsensical mutant power. But at least they have him, so they explain how they get all the shit. He doesn't exist in this universe. So where did he get a jet? Where did he get an SR-71 Blackbird from? I get the idea that the guy's rich. One of those is hundreds of millions of dollars.
But how do we know that he's rich?
Well, I mean, he's got the mansion. You're supposed to know that. I guess you're supposed to think that he's got money.
I just think that he just took over people's minds and just like, build me this.
Yeah. I guess that's fair. But it's just crazy that he has. And at that time was the pinnacle of technology and stealth stealth warfare. He had just one of those hanging out in his basement.
True.
I can see that.
I stand by this. That Rebecca Romijn Stamos' Mystique is head and tails better than Jennifer Lawrence's
God
Mystique.
Damn you. I agree. I'm just saying you took my point.
Good. I'm glad. First of all, Rebecca Romijn Stamos was a 10. And I'm taking Kevin Gautier's part in this because this is the point he would make. But she is stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Vegas 10.
I think she might still be stunning. I haven't seen her recently, but
No, she didn't age good.
Oh, no, she still got it. She still got it.
But she was, listen, she's listen. It's you can only go one way when you're that hot, and that's down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean,
and she was. I mean, she wasn't a baby when she did this movie. She was well into her 30s at least.
Mm-hmm. She's on the wrong side of 27, as I like to say.
Yeah, yeah, and she looked fantastic.
Great.
She was much more Mystique than Jennifer Lawrence. Never had the sexiness of Mystique. In Wolverine's dream, when he has that that feverish dream of his of him getting the adamantium and put in him, he hears somebody go, "We'll completely erase his memory. He'll have no memory." But then in Origins, we learn that he lost his memory because somebody shot him in the head with an adamantium bullet.
Right, right.
There's a complete loss of continuity. Origins was a terrible movie to begin with, but there's just a complete loss of continuity. And by the way, the way it's represented in X2 was actually how it happened in the comic books. They wanted to erase his memory so he could just be the perfect weapon. But that was, right. I mean, the fact that they're all supposed to exist in the same universe just was a real inconsistency.
Agreed.
The metal in the injecting the metal into the prison guard's ass was a fantastic idea. That was such a cool concept. And for a PG-13 movie, when he rips it out of him and you see the missed blood.
Yep.
Wow, that was pretty, because you didn't get Wolverine killed dozens of guys with knives in his hands. And there wasn't a drop of blood. But so you got to say, I think they saved the amount of blood you can show in a PG-13 movie for that scene. And then when he just creates the disc and floats on the disc. That's I think one of my favorite scenes, because that shows you how badass Magneto is. Like agreed. I mean, you give him an ounce of metal and you're fucked. The little brother Ronnie is a dick.
Oh, God damn it!
I never wanted to punch a child before until that scene.
they shot Wolverine. The police shot Wolverine because he retracted his claws immediately. They as soon as his claws popped him, they shot him. But Pyro blows everything up with fire and all the cops just kind of stand there and are like, oh, no. What? You weren't not fast on the trigger anymore. And by the way, they shoot Wolverine in the head and it puts him unconscious, which is completely bullshit. Wolverine's skull is made of indestructible metal. Mm-hmm. The bullet would have gone through the skin, hit the metal, and either bounced off or just fallen off him.
And then went back and to the left. Back and to the left.
Well done, sir.
Boom.
But and he wouldn't have been unconscious. Getting shot in the head would have never knocked Wolverine unconscious. That drives me bananas.
Agreed.
Mystique's voice in this, I love the echoey, creepy voice. I think they should have kept that throughout. I don't know that they ever suggested that she had that in the comic books, but I thought it was kind of cool. And clearly Jennifer Lawrence was like, no, you need to hear my voice. And she got it.
Yes. Yes. Was Mystique naked throughout the whole film? Was she just naked?
Yeah. 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 She I think she just had little things over her boobs.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mystique.
Okay.
Speaking of Mystique, when she pops into Wolverine's tent and starts becoming different women, I know if it was Kevin Goatee, he would have been like, Margot Robbie. And then just
Rebecca Romijn. 2002.
You're good the way you are. Just let's go. Let's go quick.
Denise Richards, 1997.
How did she precise years?
It's crazy.
Oh, Wild Things is 97. Give me Halle Berry Swordfish, which was 2000. For
Mystique, by the end of the session with Goatee, would have been like, this is the 17th person you've asked for. I'm tired. Can you just finish? I want to go to bed.
I'm 44. I would have 17 different loads for each one.
Becoming Pee Wee Herman, you weirdo.
Yeah. Wait. Three more.
I always say in movies, especially science fiction or action movies, somebody is either a hacker or a ninja. Everybody's either knows how to he's a hacker and he can just do whatever, or he's a ninja and he can do whatever. Mystique is both. Mystique's a hacker. Where did that ever come from that she can just hack into shit? That was just we need just make Mystique it. And she's a badass ninja who kicks the shit of everybody. And speaking of that, when she goes into the base disguised as Wolverine. How does Stryker immediately know that she's not Wolverine? He goes, I can always tell my work. What the fuck does that mean? She looked exactly like him. You're not a mutant or anything. That was absolutely batshit bananas. And I completely forgot about that. The serum that controls the mutants, that's called a MacGuffin. Because it's never explained
at all.
It can just kind of do whatever they want. It made Magneto go into like a coma, and yet Lady Deathstrike functions perfectly, but is just like, I guess, a slave or an automaton. It's never explained what that is, where they found it, how it works. Just drip it on, and it does whatever we need for that scene, because we need to control them.
Exactly.
The Lady Deathstrike Wolverine fight scene was cool. Lady Deathstrike really didn't get her due as compared to the comic books. She's a much cooler character, and her hands in the comic books, her hands were really badass. They were completely cyborg hands with like knives at the end of them, and these just look like needles at the end of her fingers. I thought I realized that was one of the cooler scenes in the movie, but once again, Wolverine always gets his ass kicked in movies.
And all the time.
He gets the shit beat out of him pretty good in this movie. And then when he beats her, that was cool that he filled her up with adamantium. I don't know that it would leak out of your eyes or out of your nose if you did. I don't know that human physiology works that way. I felt it still could have been a little better, because that was they building up to that scene. And there should have also been a little establishment of history between Wolverine and Lady Death. There should have been something there. A lot of these movies, they just jam mutants together and they never acknowledge that there might have been some past.
Well, one thing that annoyed me was that she's not a mutant in the comic book. So I was willing to let that go. But it just kind of upset me, because I'm like, what is the point of controlling her? You could just had her be a robot.
Right.
And just have her be an evil robot. Like, right. We don't need her.
You're just paying her. You're just paying her. Why couldn't she just be on the payroll? Like the Reavers were in Logan, and this brings me around to my overall point. Having just done Logan and watching this movie, and then having watched X-Men relatively recently, the tone is, it's incredible how different the tone is from these movies. And the scene where in Logan, where Wolverine sees the comic books, and I think I said this in the Logan episode, and he looks and he goes, it wasn't like that. These are cartoons or whatever. And it's like, well, actually, those other movies kind of were like that. Like that supposedly happened, and it all looked kind of like that shit. This looks completely different. This is more of a Mad Max than the Thunderdome looking kind of situation. But it's just funny how much darker the Logan was, and how much it just had a lot more gravity to it. And by the way, my last point, Wolverine with the ear hair that they gave him in the comic books, they tried to do it in the first couple movies and it looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
the first shot of Wolverine, when they show him in the Canadian outback, wherever he is, going into the compound, they look at him and he's got the full thing going on. And it was just like, that looks really stupid. And I feel like later on in the movie, they were like, we should just tone this down a little bit.
Just get rid of it.
His hair looked like an upside down trapezoid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know what? I got to say, through all that, it's not a perfect movie, and having seen what MCU did, and even DC's better fare, it doesn't really hold up to the best of the MCU movies. I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it as much as the first X-Men. There were definitely problems with it, but there was a lot of cool stuff. The Nightcrawler stuff was really, really cool. I like the end. I like how he ends up killing Stryker. I didn't like the end. I didn't like Wolverine crying at the end when Jean Grey dies. I thought that was a little cheesy, and I didn't feel like they'd established enough there that he would have been crying. But the scene in the president's office was kind of cool, although completely ridiculous and impossible. But for me, I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. It's not going to be a movie I watch a lot again, but I think it kind of held up. I give it a six.
Remote test fails.
Yeah, probably. You know what? 10 years ago, maybe not. But now there's nothing that I specifically want to see in that movie.
If you're watching a superhero, if you want to watch a superhero film, it sounds like this is not toward the top of the heap.
Understand? No, definitely not.
Before you get into it, don't forget guttingthesacredcow.com. Every single day, blog articles. We have it. We have everything you'll want. We've got movies that we've seen. We've got quotes. We've got the that doesn't happen. A lot of that in this film. And, of course, movie sequels we want to see or don't want to see. And, of course, kick-ass shirts, hats, bags, cell phone holders, guttingthesacredcow.com. And for Christ, there's the mug. There's the mug. I got the shirt next to me for the next show. And for the love of Christ, If you have not yet done so, for all the new fans who I know subscribed today, they screenshot it and send it to our Twitter at GTSC Podcast. We love if you write us a quick 5-star review, 2 or 3 sentences. We love you forever. Notes. We said it a million times. The Nightcrawler opening scene is bonkers. I bet the one president who wished he could have teleported around the White House was Bill Clinton, because he'd be going he'd be going right through walls to bang chubby interns as well as avoid Hillary and that crazy ass laugh of hers. Thank you.
I'm weak.
Every time DuGray Scott turns his TV on and sees an X-Men or Wolverine movie, he must snap his remote like a pencil in anger.
I could have been Ryan Reynolds' best friend.
Yeah. If anything, these X-Men movies remind us how hot Famke Janssen, Halle Berry, and Rebecca Romijn Stamos were and currently am.
They still got it.
Not sure a Famke Janssen fan.
Really? Oh, I think she's. I think she's great.
I can acknowledge that she's pretty.
Yeah,
but she's just not. She just comes off kind of cold to me. I don't know.
Well, she's Dutch. That's why. So.
You got it.
Next one. The Cyclops Oakley sunglasses he wore were so 2000. And I love it because I had a pair of the Tom Cruise sunglasses he wore in Mission Impossible 2. And I don't give a fuck. I love them.
Oh, yeah. Wraparound sunglasses were the best.
William Stryker.
That was the time.
Yeah. William Stryker is great in this film. And I don't like Brian Cox a lot of times. I loved him as Stryker in this. And at the minute 17 mark, we're reminded of Anna Paquin's shitty accent. Did Logan really have to put a cigar out on his hand when no one was looking? I mean, that's a thing. It's like, hey, what? Look, ready? Oh, you weren't looking. Come on, man. Look over here. You weren't looking at me. He wastes that on nothing. But you're right. It is a low. Yeah. Good thing I don't have access to Cerebro, because I would use it to locate Margot Robbie every time she takes a shower.
I thought you were going to say every time she takes a shit.
Yeah, but Kevin Israel would use Cerebro to see when Elliot Page is taking a shower. Kitty Pride. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, I got you.
Whatever happened to Kelly Hu, the woman who played Lady Deathstrike? She was a smoke show. Like, it was like one or two and done, and then I think she was stunning. The shittiest mutant power is the kid who changes channels by blinking his eyes. The only mutant power I think of someone can have that's worse and not as cool is someone who can take ghost shits for the rest of their lives. Pretty cool, but not cool enough to be shipped away to a school that has kids who can turn to steel or walk through walls. Ghost shits are fun, though. Big fan.
Agreed.
There had to be a support group of mutants that didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Not enough. I can see Sentinels ignoring him. Like, nah.
Yeah, he's not a threat.
He won't be a threat.
What's he going to change our fucking our fan speed to low to medium or high?
Your remote is no longer paired with your TV.
He shut up their Bluetooth. Not enough Colossus, too much Rogue. That's the title of this film. What the fuck is Logan doing holding his hand to the ice with Stryker like he's visiting him in prison, pressing his hand against the glass? What kind of horse shit is that? Rebecca Romijn is a much better Mystique than Jennifer Lawrence. Bye. Far. Pyro reminds me of Sid from Toy Story. He's the type of kid, type of guy who sells beer to kids outside of a convenience store at a 300% markup, at least.
He would be that guy.
Why is Iceman still with Rogue if they can't have sex? This is like trying to break down a woman who is a day away from joining a convent.
That's why he immediately gave her those gloves. He's like, now that you have those gloves, could you give me a hand job real quick?
Yeah, but her pussy's gonna have that problem though when he goes in.
I was gonna say.
Yeah,
I can see some sexual frustration with him when he crossed it.
Rory's beer. Kitty Pride is down the hall. It's not a far walk to find a new girlfriend. Iceman's brother is a narc piece of shit, and I would have killed him myself on that porch right then and there.
Yes.
Halle Berry got even less to work with in this film and than the first one, but she has a couple of wannabe heartfelt scenes that are complete garbage. Like, oh, stop. The Hallmark Channel's four more up. Wolverine got shot so fast on that porch by the cops, and if that took place today, the X-Men would be protesting and looting.
He got shot so fast, I thought he was black. I was like, damn, he just shot his.
Well, I thought about writing that, but I said, no, I can't write that.
You both just said something that I wrote and deleted.
Did you
say that? I said it for both of you. I said
thank
it for
you.
Y'all.
Cool. We appreciate you. Why did Rogue have to unbuckle her seatbelt after Jean specifically tells everyone to buckle up? Big neon sign here, guys. Bad shit's going to happen to her. The last 15 minutes are just meh besides the final battle. It's meh. And Kevin Israel has heard me say this before. I have defended this film as one of the best X-Men films. I will say this. I am shocked that it has not held up as well as I remember it. It is not as precipitous as a drop as Batman Returns was for me. It's good, not great. Definitely does not pass the remote test except for the obvious few scenes. The Lady Deathstrike scene, the mansion scene. Other than that, it's opening with Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler came on strong, but not used enough for my liking. 6.5 out of 10.
Ooh. Damn. Y'all gave it
good. It's good. It ain't. I can't. I listen. You make points. Again, I agree. I forgot how little Colossus was used in this. And I'm like, motherfuckers, cock teases. It blows away the first one. There's no doubt about that, which ain't hard to do. It blows away the third one, which is even easier to do.
Yeah, it's just a terrible movie.
But when you compare it to the Days of Future Past or First Class, no, I'm not on that train. I'm sorry.
Sounds like an invite back.
We like you. You know that. We got to move through. So let's go through the critics' 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews by critics.
Yeah! X2, X-Men United, is better than its predecessor in every way. Mm-hmm. X-Men works because it isn't about the effects. It's about being different, in this case, a mutant. That's why it resonates so with its adolescent fans.
Aw.
X-Men 2 is the movie the first one should have been. It takes Fair. True. It does. It takes true cinema talent to turn the daunting and rather unwieldy 40 years of material into a coherent, yet complex, smart, yet incredibly fun. How many times can we reuse the word yet? Entertainment that satisfies both the fanboys and newbie moviegoers alike. And the last one, it's fun. It's pun time. X marks the spot.
No.
Boo.
Critics 1-star reviews.
Critics 1-star reviews. Critics 1-star reviews.
Spends way too much time reverently aggrandizing its mutant outsider theme when in reality, we're talking about people with non-pitiable superhuman skills. I've never heard non-pitiable used. How about you,
yeah,
fellas?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Non-pitiable? Word.
Yeah. P-I-T-I-A-B-L-E. That's
like, you don't have pity for them?
Buddy, I didn't write this fucking review.
Not capable of being pitied.
Yeah, I figure as much. All right. The truth is the film is never again as good as its brilliant opening sequence. Once again, there is plenty of action, though the overdependence on wire work and computer-augmented fight choreography grows ever more grating.
Oh, shut up.
Right. Oh, fuck out of here. There are people who shoot eye beams out of their eyes. What do you want?
Now he's defending it.
Oh, wait, hold up.
The light, the light tone and modest character development of X-Men have given way to an avalanche of digital effects and a bloated symphonic score. Mm-hmm. Improved, improves upon the formula of the original and gives a significantly greater amount of action. But the formula is still rather expository in nature, and the action has a tendency to be rather generic. Just like that review. Dickhead.
Exactly.
Amazon, 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
The mutants are bigger and back than before in the exceptional blockbuster, X-Men 2, X-Men United. You knew, come on. In the near future, an assassination attempt on the U.S. president by an unknown mutant triggers event, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Now, to ensure their future, the X-Men must rely on the aid of new allies and old rivals to save millions of lives. X-Men is one of those rare sequels that actually succeed over the original. Everything you'd want in an X-Men movie. It is the very reason my fans everywhere continue to refuse to accept the end of the movie chain. Keep them coming. Action, adventure, love, and the good guy saved the day and all mankind. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, dolls. Signed, Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I keep forgetting his name was Short Round.
Oh, I never did. I love that film. You either like these movies or you don't. Can't you say that about every film, guys? This is
absolutely.
Or about anything.
Yeah. This is my favorite overall, but I also like The Last Stand, so a grain of salt. And now I just discounted your opinion for liking Last Stand.
Absolutely.
Ordered for granddaughter. She loves it. Amazon 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews. It's time for Amazon 1-star reviews. Amazon 1-star reviews.
Slow and does not sync with the video. I wish I just got the movies from the library. By the way, if you get movies from the library, this is like admitting that you're in foreclosure, right? Although Alan Cumming is a great actor, Nightcrawler is so, so very bad.
Ugh.
It's the one thing that was good about it.
Yeah, missing the mark here, dickhead. Typical Marvel junk. Nothing makes any sense if you think about it, and I just can't turn my brain off. I'm not talking about the superpowers. I'm talking about accepting the superpower aspect. The story still makes no sense. This one's gonna hit a nerve for Kevin Israel and myself. Bad acting, too dark for young kids, waste of time. Bring back hero movies with the likes of Christopher Reeve, I say.
Oh yeah. Because
Superman,
that movie was a hoot.
Trash.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, and Task, we did this on this very podcast. Superman 1 is awful.
Hey, yo, relax.
Nope. Go listen to Bill.
Did you guys do an episode on that?
Yes, we did. Yeah. It's about a month ago. Bill Schultz did it. You can try to. Yeah. I'm not worried about you, buddy, on this one. Trust me. My husband ordered it. I didn't watch it with him. Don't care for violence in these movies. Now, excuse me while I put a leash on my husband and walk him around our living room.
Sounds about right.
I give this movie 1 star for the sheer laughable entertainment value of Nightcrawler, the blue Catholic demon with the tail. He is by far one of the most ridiculous characters I've ever seen. Do not waste your money or your time on this DVD. Last one. And this is all in caps. So now I really like Hugh Jackman and all, but this wasn't even his best performance. My problem is that they could have gone anywhere with the script, but they didn't. They also tried to, but so many new characters in that they didn't focus enough on the main characters. Also left it open for a sequel. No fucking shit. Really? I hate that. I hate
called
that.
A franchise.
Yeah. I hate that. There were too many good actors in this movie that they wasted. I think that they would have done it another way. It would have turned out good. If you ask my opinion, we didn't. I would say that doesn't match the quality of the first one. I guess the stunts and crap were good, but I don't look at a movie just seeing if Jackie Chan can flip a guy with one pinky. He needs more than one pinky. He needs a chair. I don't care. Yeah. If you're like me and care about a story, this will be a disappointment and a waste of time and money. Don't consider it for a minute. It's trash. Sign, the Cash Me Outside Girl.
And angry.
And I like how you adjusted your voice for the capital. I mean,
I'm a fucking professional, bro, to make no bones about it.
Yes, sir.
Kevin is,
I like that.
Kevin Israel did Tess gut the sacred cow.
Did Tess, you successfully gutted the first one, right?
Yeah, he did.
Unfortunately, yeah. And we're not going 100%. You did good. You did good. But this one, this movie, it holds up. Not great, but there's a coherent story there. The characters are there. There's enough nod to the actual X-Men in the comic books. This felt like the series was on the right path. It felt like it was on the right path and that the third one should have been a great movie. And then it just fell off the rails. So, I mean, you put the beat down and you made a lot of killer points. But I think the movie still holds up.
You know, I respect your opinion no matter how wrong you are.
I agree. You know what it was like? It's like you're trying to stab us, but we're like Nightcrawler. We keep bamf.
You keep bamfing. Bamf. Bamf. Bamf.
Bamf. You had us in a corner, but bamf, right on out of there. There are some really cool moments. You made good points. Don't get me wrong. Again, a lot of great points. You didn't deliver that final kill shot. You didn't suck out. You didn't pull out the exactly.
You never formed the blazing sword, bro.
Yeah. You didn't pull the iron out of that guy's body and suck it out like Magneto did.
You guys are a hard cow to gut.
You're
a hard
are.
Cow to gut.
Listen,
this isn't for the week.
Just ask Bill Schultz, who took four tries to gut his first film with Superman, mind you.
Yeah.
Four tries. Task, we love you. Where can we find you? Tell the fans what you're up to and what's going on.
Peace, peace, peace. All this is your boy Task. You can find me online at Up to Task on Twitter. I also do a podcast called Super Suit Show. Just Google Super Suit Show. You pull us up. I'm online. Bless you two gentlemen. I had a blast doing this, and I look forward to doing it again.
Love having you on, Task.
Kevin Israel. Thank you again, Task. We appreciate it. Kevin Israel, talk to us.
KevinIsrael.com for dates and whatnot coming up. I'll be at Foxwoods Casino on July 26th or June 26th, Saturday. I have some other dates coming up. Go to my website, KevinIsrael.com. And please leave us a 5-star rating and a couple sentence review. It helps. It means something. It matters. It makes us happy. And it just keeps boosting up in the ratings. You guys are doing great. Just do a little more.
Appreciate it. KevinGoatee.com for whatever dates we got working. Who knows? More importantly, GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Patreon. We're there as well. Patreon.com/GuttingTheSacredCow. Throw a few ducats in the bucket. Kill me now. We're working on that. So tell your friend, but the most sincere form, tell your friends, tag us. We don't give a shit. Tell your friends what an amazing original podcast this is. Jump on board, subscribe. You're going to love every goddamn episode. I promise you. You're going to find films like, who gives a shit? Believe me, we know how to make shit funny. Even with films like, I'm not too crazy about that film. Don't worry. Listen, we made La La Land a funny fucking episode. All right. And we had no desire.
We did.
Very true. Task, you're nice. Awesome. Thanks again for coming in and hang out. We love your brother. We'll have you back again, maybe for another X-Men film. We have to curtail that here, but we never know. Kevin Goatee, yes, Kevin sir. Israel. We love you guys. Thanks again, brother. Take care. We'll see you guys later. Take care.